It is important for me when I'm creating, I want the art to, well, I feel the art with all my senses. Because, for example, when I look at colors, I hear music.
Welcome to the Visual Literacy Project Talks. I'm Kevin Wenning. In these interviews, I talk with visual creators across various disciplines about why we create the art that we do. Why and how do some people cultivate deep knowledge and skills to communicate powerfully with their craft? Why do certain visual styles really connect with us and others don't? When I don't understand a photograph or an artwork, I want to speak with the artist so I can reach an appreciation of their style that I never would have come to on my own. And that really is the purpose of Visual Literacy Project. These interviews are best viewed at visualliteracyproject.com, where you can view the full-length videos, also see examples of the artworks that we're talking about during these interviews, and find links to the artists and to their online galleries. Today I'm talking with Gosha Gibbick. She is a painter living in Clitheroe, England. And I first came across Gosha on, I think, a social group because I saw her paintings of people on bikes, and she does a lot of art around people in motion, anybody that's an athlete, she does commissions for. So that's where I first became aware of her, and then I found her website and her Instagram and her YouTube channel, and she does amazing landscapes and urbanscapes, and the first thing that pops out is just, wow, she uses a lot of color. This is bright, and it just, you know, grabs your attention. And I'm not talking bright and overdone like, you know, an overprocessed photo. I'm talking this painter really has a vision for what they're putting on the canvas, and that's what grabbed my attention in the first place. After talking with her, getting to know her a little bit, Gosha has a unique condition called synesthesia. So synesthesia just blends all sorts of different senses together. So sometimes when you see a color, it triggers, you hear a word, or it triggers music, and she'll explain it a lot better than I can. Really what her niche is painting commissions for athletes to commemorate moments in their lives. So because we do talk a bit about her commissions for athletes. I don't want this to sound like it's an advertisement, but really the point of why we talk a lot about that in the interview is that has been kind of her focus as a professional artist, because she really wants her art to mean something to people. She wants to create art for people. So that's her niche. All right. So let's go ahead and get right into it. Let's talk with Gosha Gibbick. The most basic question that I wanted to start with, how do I pronounce your name? Is it Gosha?
Gosha. Yes. You can say it anyway, because people say Gosha or Gosha, and it's just Gosha.
Gosha. Gosha is a professional artist who sees and paints in rich colors. She captures athletes in motion and creates urban landscape paintings depicting picturesque England and beyond. Gosha sees in colors. She's been blessed with a particular trait called synesthesia. Synesthesia is a condition that happens when a sense such as sight triggers another sense like a smell at the same time. In Gosha's case, her senses also blend one with another. She hears music when looking at colors, smells when listening to music, and most oddly, she sees words in colors. Yeah, kind of crazy stuff. Thanks to this particular trait, Gosha can perfectly capture people in motion or the vibrancy of objects and textures. This is really evident in her sports-inspired pieces that are full of action and movement. She has dedicated her professional practice to creating original, customized artworks that can capture the passions and adventures of anyone who wants to keep their vivid memories of their moments of achievement. Gosha wins painting competitions with her urban landscapes, but really she takes the most pride in creating personalized art to memorialize standout active moments in your life.
I was born in Poland, and when I was about, well, I was still a student, and I've decided, well, I had this dream about Lisbon. Lisbon is a capital of Portugal. Anyway, I had this dream about Lisbon, and during a holiday, I've decided that I need to get to Lisbon. And I met some girlfriends, friends from the university, who were going to go hitchhiking around Europe, or, well, they were going to go to Spain. And I thought I'd join them because that would be easy for me to get to Portugal. So we set off on a journey, three of us, and we were hitchhiking from Poland all the way to Spain. We didn't get to Portugal. Well, I've decided to stay there because I met an Englishman. So, and that's why I decided to stay there, because he was staying in Spain. The dream was to get to Portugal, but I never got there. Then.
Different dream. Dream changed.
Yes, the dream changed, yes.
Were you going to university for your art, or what were you studying then?
Yes, I was studying at the Academy of Fine Arts in Wrocław, Poland. And I was studying graphics fine arts.
After these 3 years in Spain, then you went back and finished?
I've decided to just go back for a few months to finish my final year. It was just a matter of doing my final diploma. Well, art is always at the back of my head. It's actually something, I think I was born with a disease, maybe art disease. I actually have a very good story about my birth.
So art has always been a part of your life?
It has been always part of my life.
It's not something you decided at university, I'm going to study this. It was, like you said, it was a disease.
Yeah.
Well, how do you mean?
Actually, as far as the university, I've decided, I always knew from a child that I wanted to be an artist. And I was telling everybody that in the future, I will be a famous artist. That was my dream. And
tell us your story from birth. Yeah, you said you had an interesting story there.
Yes, because when I was born, with a serological conflict. It is kind of a blood conflict, problem of my parents not having a matching blood. My mom, I think she was Rh plus, my dad was Rh minus, something like this. However, it was 1976 in the communist Poland when I was born.
Okay.
Yes, I know.
I'm trying to think of that time frame. That's right before I was born.
Wow.
So go on.
So this story might be a little bit silly, but I believe that's why I become an artist. So this, I was born with this serological conflict. So straight after I was born, I had to have a blood transfusion because of this problem. But it was, like I said, year 1976 in the communist Poland, and one had to have a really good connections to organize this type of treatment for a baby. Thankfully, my mother was a very high-ranked nurse, and actually she was a midwife. So that's the connections.
Oh, wow.
She organized this transfusion, and she organized, I was transported in helicopter to another city and something like this. Okay. However, if it wasn't for her, I would have been left to die. And what does it mean if child is untreated after being born with this conflict? Then, well, they can die. That's the worst case. But usually they would be left with brain damage.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I was saved. And I believe that I was saved for that reason too, that God gave me a second chance, that he's changed his mind, because he wanted me to become this artist.
Now, this isn't a silly story at all. This is important.
There's another aspect of me which accompanies me all my life. I've got a special trait called synesthesia. Synesthesia is some kind of mixing of senses. So one sense triggers another. For example, in my case, I see words in color. Every single letter will have their own color. And the word It's a combination of those colors, with the first color being the major, giving the major color scheme to the world. And I see these colors in my head. So Kevin, for example, starts with K. K is very dark, but it's got E behind, and E is like sky blue. And I think E, A, that's consonants, are they? They are always shiny, all those letters. So they always give a little bit more light to more dula letters in my head.
Okay.
Right. So you will be like indigo blue, but a little bit softened with this blue sky light. And that's your name. That's how I see you.
So do you use that then in your art?
Of course, yes.
And if you see, I guess, colors from letters or words, do you write things down before you start to work it on them?
Maybe not that much. But what it is important for me, when I'm creating, I want the art to, well, I feel the art with all my senses. Because, for example, when I look at colors, I hear music. Okay. And when I hear music, I can taste something. Or I can feel cold or shiver, things like this. It is really...
So yeah. You're... And I, from just my little bit of research before we talked, not everybody who has synesthesia experiences it the same way. Some only have, you know, one sense triggers another one. You have basically the whole gamut. One thing triggers all of the other senses at the same time.
That's right. And that's why it is important for me in my art, because I want to reflect those sensations in my art. Mm-hmm. Hence, I believe that I create with all my senses. And... well, when I look at my art, I see everything is moving on the picture. And this is another mission that I would like to express through my art. I don't like it to be static. I want it to, well, to create some kind of moving story.
Okay.
Right.
So when did you realize that you had synesthesia, and did you at first think that it was a detriment, or did you embrace it right away?
No, I didn't. Well, I wasn't aware that this is something special. I thought it was, when I was a child, I thought that was just normal.
Right.
After a while, when I grew up and I told someone about my ability to see words in color, someone just said, oh yeah, this is synesthesia. And I believe maybe that synesthesia also started from my childhood, when I was left a little bit with the serological conflict. And I mentioned at the beginning that children untreated can have damaged brain. Maybe, it's not nothing wrong with me, but, I think it makes me a little bit special.
In this sense, your synesthesia, has it, the way that you experience words and colors and see movement, has it changed over your lifetime, or has it always been constant?
It's always been constant. And I think lately, especially now when I create more, because my child is grown and I can spend more time doing it. Mm-hmm. So, it comes out with a bigger power. And another thing is the color, very important for me. The color is so important for me. And I look for the color everywhere, in every places, in this, even the dullest places, I would always search for color. It's my eyes are searching for the color.
Okay.
That probably also started at the university, because at the university, I had this wonderful professor. He was a painting tutor, And he was a great artist himself. And he was telling us about the color that, you know, he was telling us that, you know, if you're painting, you cannot just paint dull things as you see them. You need to find reflections of other colors in every matter. Mm-hmm. And one color reflects the other, and that's how we get, well, this variety.
You kind of learned that. Somebody sort of taught you that, but you learned to harness your ability too, and it became part of your process. It wasn't just this organic thing that, like, oh, I guess I have this talent. You actually learned to work with it and use it.
Yes, you're right. And you put that in the right words. Yes, exactly. So I have learned to use it and enhance even this ability. Mm-hmm. And thanks to this, my pictures are very, very colorful, full of color. And this, the vivid color and the dynamic that I would like to also express, because things are not static.
We were talking about how you try and pull the color out of a scene and see things in terms of their vibrancy. I didn't find a portfolio, but all of these, of course, are on your Instagram. That's what we're looking at now. Yeah. So explain that. Like when you see a scene, are these colors that you see, or are you trying to, yeah, how do you decide what colors go into the scene?
Yes. I decide about the color. Like I said, I look for the colors, and even in the dullest of the place, I would find some leading color. Maybe color scheme. I also try to create my paintings in kind of color schemes. So there will be either pink or orange, or there will be, like in this case, majority of reds, oranges, and something just very, well, contrasting with these colors, which is the blue of the sky and the blue of the shadow. Blue is naturally a cold color, cold in temperature. Hence, it is very nice to use it on those parts of the building where there is no sunshine. So I always look at the color scheme, and it just, and having a color like this, a leading color in this case is red and orange, I already see in my head that something that will really stand out against these colors would be blue, but I should probably give more green to it, but very bright green, which probably I'll still do.
I'm gonna go ahead and play this one because I didn't realize I clicked on a video here, and yes. This is another key thing that drew me in, got me interested in following what you're doing, because you create these little videos.
Oh yes, yeah,
showing your creation of the image.
That's right. And I'm doing it because I don't want pictures to be just static. And I want to share the same experience I have when I create or look at the paintings. So I actually have painted the sun in that position first and decided that it's wrong and I wanted it behind the building, the main building. And in my head, this sun already moved. When I looked at this, I could see it moving.
And from my perspective, I'm looking at this as though you're just showing me the creation of your art as a marketing tactic. Right, and you're saying, no, I'm doing that because I want you to see I want you to feel the motion and the movement in the picture.
That's right. Well, in this case, I'm showing the technique that I've developed, which is using the dripping gloss paint, just ordinary household gloss paint, and dripping it from this palette knife. This is the technique that I've come up with. I've developed it of course, I was inspired by some other artists, but I believe that I've developed this technique even further because I mix such a variety of gloss paints. I mix them with oil paints. And another thing is that I use inks and acrylics, and I mix inks with acrylics just because when acrylics is so unsatisfying if it comes to color. It may look all right at the beginning when acrylic is wet, but when acrylic dries, then the color shifts and it becomes really dull, okay. Too dull for my liking.
So that's why you chose the gloss paint?
That's why I've chosen the gloss paint, because the gloss paint would always stand out on the top of, whichever media I would be using before. And the gloss paint always would be with a contrasting to a color to the major color scheme. And how I use the contrast as well, I'm using, I don't know whether you know the color theory, where we have the color wheel, and the color wheel starts with three basic colors, three primary colors, which are yellow, red, and blue. Now the yellow, when yellow mixes with, so those primary colors, they cannot be mixed with from any other colors. And then when we mix those primary colors together, we get secondary colors, which is green when we mix blue with yellow, and orange when we mix red with yellow, and purple when we mix red with blue.
Okay.
So these are the secondary colors. There are also tertiary colors, tertiary color is when the primary color mixes with the secondary color. So for example, blue with green. And in that case, we'll get some kind of hue, different hue of blue or green. It depends on the quantity of the color that we add to our mixture. Mm-hmm. If we add lots of blue and a little bit of green, then it will be very bluish green. And if we add lots of green and a little bit of blue, then the green will become like bluish. I don't know whether you can sense the difference, but...
So I am not a painter. I haven't studied it. It's color theory in that way. We use a little bit. I use it in photography. Okay. I'm usually looking for, complementary or contrasty colors. To create that depth that pulls somebody's eye through the image. You're using it more to create just that vibrancy. Obviously you've got a lot of depth in this image that we're looking at here, but you're looking at it more for, the vibrancy and the richness of the scene.
That's right. Vibrancy, richness, and movement, because you can see the light here is flickering.
Mm. Yeah.
At least I can see it.
I agree. And you're right. That makes a huge difference that you've picked a paint that doesn't dull once you apply it to whatever your paper or your canvas. So I'm talking a little nonsense because I'm not a painter. I can't speak to you in your in your terms. But
you've got an understanding, and you said very right that you are looking at the contrast and the complementary colors, which is something I was going to mention. So. Whenever my first layer of paint develops from secondary colors and tertiary colors, so there might be that variety of yellows going into orange and reds. Yeah. And then the gloss paint, which will go on the top of this, will be usually a complementary color to that base color, to create the contrast and make the gloss paint stand out. And that's how I create those striking effects, I think.
Is the gloss paint also raised? You're going to have a texture once it's done.
Yes, the gloss paint as well gets the texture.
I'm going to switch over to your website here. When you do... what was I looking at previously? Like your prints and your cards, like specifically on a card, is that going to, what's your method for those? Are those printed or are those all hand painted?
Well, they come from my hand, these are prints from original paintings that I have painted. Yeah. So primarily they were original paintings, I've painted them. And now, because majority of these originals is sold, so but I'm still able to sell them as prints. And it would be a very good quality print. It's called Rikli print, which comes from a white format printer. Rikli print means it's a digital process, digital printing, resulting in print of a very high quality. Again, we can add the vibrancy of colors.
So how do you take a print and turn it into, or I'm sorry, an original artwork and turn it into a print?
Well, it is the original painting is being scanned onto computer, or I take photographs. But usually I scan the picture and patch it up in Photoshop. And Photoshop as well allows me to control those colors because I can give it more contrast or more vibrancy, exposure, things like this.
Clearly you've built your website and your professional personality around a commercial direction, which a lot of artists don't ever go down. But so everything that you put out publicly online is focused on, you know, driving people to your studio, driving people to purchases of either art that you've already created or commissioning you for a specific piece of art, maybe of themselves on their bike, on a hike, doing something active. So you're directing people that way. Do you do anything aside from what we see on your website, you know, just for yourself, for your own creative endeavors and growth as an artist as well?
No, I only do it for others. And I want to create art for people. I want to create something that would bring joy to people. Because for me, the biggest achievement is when I can hear or see their happiness and their joy. And I want to bring lots of joy with my paintings. Whatever I create for people, I create for myself as well. It comes from me. But this is basically all I do. And as you've noticed, I've got two specific teams. I've got the sports team, which started with being a cyclist and my love to those cycling rides. Mm-hmm. So my sports team, and the sports team, I believe the sports team is more commercial than the other team, which is the urban landscape. Because urban landscape, these are much more elaborate paintings. They take longer, and I use variety of media. It's very important, color and texture on those paintings and light, and they are on canvases. Whilst the sports team, it's a very quick technique, again, using gloss paint. And that's how it actually started.
Let's look at this one real quick because it just started, and this is actually a good demonstration of that.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, this is just an ordinary gloss paint. They come so easy. It's just so easy to create them. Possibly maybe 10 minutes, half an hour, and I would have a nice sketch. Because I believe this is not a painting. This is just a sketch that I do using this gloss paint and a craft knife. When I'm doing it, that's another thing, and philosophy that I've developed is as I load my craft knife with the paint, and then I drip it on the paper, I never have anything pre-sketched on this paper. It's just, I'm just starting from a point and then it goes. However, the tool never touches the paper, so I never would touch the paper with that craft knife. And I would keep it above the paper and allow the line to take its own life.
Here's a good example. Uh-huh. I would think that you're either at the race and maybe took a snapshot of this, took it back to your studio, and then worked from a photograph. You're saying, no, it's all in here, and it comes out quickly.
Well, actually, I do work from a photograph. And in this case, I'm looking for interesting pictures, photographs on Instagram. And then I would paint that, and I think I'll let them know that I've created this artwork based on their photograph. So I have a photograph in front of me, but blank piece of paper. So I wouldn't sketch anything before, but just looking by looking at the photograph, not even looking at the paper, maybe just sometimes. So that's how I create these.
Okay, so you do both. Sometimes you just do completely freehand from memory, from your mind's eye. Or are you always looking at a photograph in front of you?
Yeah, I always look at the photograph in front of me. Yeah. But because what is drawing? And why people sometimes say, oh, I cannot draw. But drawing means to be able to observe. People, when they draw, for example, apple or anything, any object, they would never look at they would never really look at this object with interest. They would try, they would try to copy, but without thoroughly observing the object in front of them. And my technique is, I'm looking at the object and my eyes follow the outline. My eyes follow the texture. So my eyes are receiving the information, and my hand is just executing this information. I do lots of commissions like this, where people would give me photographs from their events. And they can say, it could be a combination of many of photos, because, for example, like this Harry, the group leader. So he never actually gave me a photo of this group. He only gave me photo of his gear, so I could I knew what kind of colors he would like to have, and he explained that he would like this to be a group of cyclists. He would like to be on the top or leading this group. And he said about the background, he wanted it to take place in some kind of Yorkshire Dales. These are Yorkshire Dales, characteristic to English landscape, dry stone wall behind.
Wow, okay. So you
But usually people would give me their photos, and I would just create the artwork using their photos.
You opened your studio, and you just told me that you just gained an art agent. What are those the two most significant? Are there anything else? Is there anything else important going on for you?
Well, actually, yeah, I've got this. I've got three projects going on. But so the first one is the gallery, which has been recently reopened, redecorated. And I am planning to create to set up a special exhibition for visitors and citizens of Clitheroe and the Ribble Valley, which is the place where I live. Clitheroe and the Ribble Valley, I know it's only limited to this place, but because the gallery is in this place, I wanted to dedicate art that I display in this gallery to Clitheroe and the surrounding area. Mm-hmm. But however, I'm asking people, and this is something I'll be asking even more, I'll be shouting about this very soon. I'm asking people to tell me exactly what sort of images, what sort of views they would like to see depicted in my paintings. So something special for them. Because once again, I would like to accentuate that I want to create art for people. I create it for people, not for myself. It, of course, gives me an amazing joy that I create something. I think the biggest joy I gain from the fact that it means something to people who are buying my art.
Right. And you're creating it with them in mind first. As you said, you're not creating it for yourself. Like even your original paintings, it's for a local project. It's for display or what's the word I'm looking for here? Exhibition. Locally, to celebrate where you live.
Exactly, to celebrate where I live and to celebrate these amazing areas that are very picturesque areas that we live. So the first project is to organize this exhibition, but exhibition of paintings of views of scenery that will be meaningful to people. And I'm just thinking now, why do I limit myself just to Clitheroe and Ribble Valley? If someone listens to them, to this video, maybe someone would want to see their own favorite places somewhere in the world. And that wouldn't be a problem, because then I can feature this art on my website and it could be like an international project. Yeah.
From other artists, or are you creating your style of art from their photographs?
Yes, from either their photographs or from, they can just tell me about the place and I would maybe find something suitable to depict this place. Yeah.
That's a whole thing with like with photographers, like we go take pictures of places and then try to, you know, sell them in a gallery or sell them to people. And they might have a connection for us personally, like that scene in the desert there. Yes. I've sold that to one person. Happens to be a friend of mine who lives in Tucson, Arizona. And he wanted it printed 10 feet wide by 6 feet tall. And we put it in on a giant wall in his house. Because he drives past a scene that looks like that every day, right?
I see. Yeah.
Whereas if I had researched something in Tucson, I probably wouldn't have created that image for him, but it just resonated with him because, you know, that's something that he sees every day. It's part of his daily life. So as photographers, I find it hard to sell art to people if they don't have a personal connection to it, which is what you do all day, every day, right? You're creating art based on their passions or themselves, you know, at an event. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that thought, but.
Okay. Well, you mentioned passion, and this is my, like a capture. I capture your passions, and that's how I would like to be recognized by. I capture people's passion. I've got another project on the go, which is I would like to create some series of art lessons where I could, on which I could tell people more about color, composition, perspective, contrast, and things like this. So I'm creating the whole series, which will be in form of blog, and also the blog will be accompanied by a video, YouTube video. When they subscribe, then I would be sending them lesson every week. Yeah.
The
plus, that lessons will also be taking place in real life, because I'm already forming classes, real classes here, and so
you do those in your gallery, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. But that, so these classes, yeah, so they will be on YouTube and in the weekly blog. And if you subscribe to my website, then you'll be notified about a new class coming out. And again, you will have a chance to create something during the week, that the responses, some kind of response to the lesson that you've been seeing. And I'm maybe prepare some kind of prizes for people to, and I can also show your pictures and discuss these.
Is it important that they work in the same with the same materials that you do, or can people work in whatever materials they want to?
Well, they can work with whatever materials they want, but however, I will be showing the whole process of creation of my artwork. So then I will be using my materials, the media I'm using, and each lesson will incorporate these media. So, for example, there'll be a lesson on inks, on how to use inks and how to mix inks with acrylics, or how to use glass paint. So they can maybe try those variety, and also at the same time learn the basics or the elements of art, and which are important in creation of a painting. And also they would be able to follow the process of how I create my art.
Are there any styles or methods that you've worked in that you don't really care for, that you tried and that you didn't pursue further?
Right. Well, I am not really big fan of photography. I'm sorry to say that. I mean, I tried that just because I tried that, and I found this, maybe the whole process of developing paint, developing the film, it was kind of, it didn't speak to me. I believe I haven't got a good eye for photography, but I do appreciate good photography that tells the story, a story that speaks as well, they can read from. So again, picture says telling story.
That is a very interesting answer. I love that answer, actually. And that's, if I'm being frank, that is what this series of interviews I'm doing is all about. Because I want to know that you chose your path and the style of art that you work on because you relate to the world visually, but in a specific way, in a way that means a lot to you, that you feel is accessible. And photography to me is accessible. That's what I like. But to you, it didn't do anything for you. And this is speaking to myself now, maybe because I haven't spent time trying painting, I haven't progressed far enough to realize that it's a superior medium. And maybe I should be painting instead.
Okay, well, maybe, or maybe you should be doing what you're doing, because you're doing it great. And you are always developing in this direction, in your media. And, let me to develop painting, and I will allow you to develop your photography to this amazing quality that you are achieving, because I really like your photographs, and I think that's how that's how I, well, my attention was on you because, like I said, your photographs are telling some kind of story that maybe faces, people, places, and I always look at them and read something from it, and it's really mesmerizing for me. However, like I said, I wouldn't be able to create in this way. Maybe because I don't feel it the same way. Maybe you've got better connection with the camera, which I haven't found. And I found better connection with paints on my hands and brushing my hand, or all this dripping paint, where I can just pour something and let it to be free. Actually, to surprise me, because I believe I don't paint those pictures. I just only direct them a little bit, but they just paint. They paint themselves. Even with acrylic, with inks, I would, for example, splash water and then a drop of ink and some maybe very runny acrylic and allow it to mix by itself. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't have much input into that creation. So the media actually paints for me. Okay.
That's a very deep answer. I don't know how to pursue that further, but I, again, this is, you know, my limitation in that I haven't worked with paints physically on my hands. Like you said, it's tangible, and then it sort of takes on its own life. I can imagine, like, for me, processing a photo, when I take the photo, that's the first step. And then I put it into Lightroom or Photoshop or whatever, and I process it. And that's a whole nother part of the creative process. Whereas for you, you get an image in your head, and then the actual creation of it, like you said, the paint takes on its own life and it sort of creates the picture by itself. And that's sort of how it is for me when I process a photo in software.
Right. Okay. Yes. Brilliant. And you can feel the connection with your camera when you've got camera in your hand and your eye behind the zoom, you know, what do you call it, that glass?
The viewfinder.
Yes. So, and you find, you probably are feeling connected to this instrument that you have in your hand and the scene that you try to take photo of. And you know how to maybe use that connection, or how to how to direct it to to create the image. You've got that power over this instrument, over this device in your heart.
Same as what you do with your photos, where you pull out colors in a scene that I never would look at that street scene and say, this is red, but it needs the blues in the shadows, and I don't like the sun here. I want to put it behind the, you know, I can do that when I'm composing through a viewfinder and a camera. I can say, okay, the sun needs to be behind the building. I got to walk over here and put the sun behind the building, but I can't do it like you can. You clearly pull that out yourself in a different way. Are there any styles of art or painting that you have tried, but you haven't spent a lot of time with, that you'd like to explore further?
I really like oil paints, but I don't have much patience to them. I really like the quality that oil painting gives me. It's so much different than acrylic. Because, well, acrylic is just plastic. but oil paints, these are the media used by masters from Leonardo da Vinci to Picasso. But I haven't got much patience to oil paints. They always take so long, and I want to finish my picture very quick, because, well, to chase this image maybe that I have in my head.
That's important. That's absolutely important. Time management and knowing the result that you need out of it is just as important as enjoying the creation of it, right?
Yes. Yeah. Of course, I enjoy the creation of it. And with oil paints, it's the process is so sacred, I would say, because oil paints are so special. Well, like I said, they've been used by masters, and I've got so much respect to this media. I'm a little bit scared of them, and I haven't got that much patience to them. I used to paint a lot of oil paintings. I don't do it now due to the fact that I really want it to, well, I would like to speed up the process. And also, acrylic paints dry quicker and I can experiment more with them. I can, for example, experiment with layering different colors on the top of one another and see what happens, obtaining some kind of different textures and things like this. It is possible to do with oil paints, but it is much more sophisticated process. That's the nice word to use. Yeah,
I love your analogy that you want to get there quicker.
Yes. Well, I've got this hunger for that picture to emerge in front of me, to emerge in front of my eyes. I've got this kind of this urge to finally see it. And I know that one of your questions was, when do I feel, for example, when the painting is finished? Maybe you had this question. However, because sometimes it is a long process, sometimes it takes quicker than the other time. I really like to approach the paintings, like go away from it, stop for a day, go away, and then come back, look at this painting from a different, with a fresh eye. And then when I see that nothing on this painting makes excuses, that there is no like problems with perspective or problems with clashing colors or colors being too dull, for example, needing to be more vibrant, or lines that needs to be more accentuated. Mm-hmm. If I see that everything is in a perfect harmony, then I feel that the painting is finished. So it takes some time and few approaches.
But that was a great line that you can look at the image and it doesn't make any excuses.
Yes, excuses. Yeah.
Where did that come from? Is that your own or did you find that somewhere?
Maybe I've heard that. Maybe I've heard someone saying this before.
I love it. I know exactly what you mean by that, but I've never heard it put exactly that way. That's just perfect. Is it important to know the masters and the history of your chosen art form?
Yes, it is very much very important, because art is like a relay race. We're just learning from one another, and we passing the baton to one artist, and then take it further, pass it again to another artist who would take it again in a different direction. And that's how art evolves. And but it's important to know where it comes from, and we also learn again. We learn from the masters. So it is important to know the art history and also the context behind the paintings. Like, for example, my favorite artist is a Mexican artist, Frida Kahlo. And I am really amazed with her story. It's not only the paintings, which are really charged with such energy, caused by her life experiences, And knowing about her story, her history, her problems, makes you look at her art with such interest.
Well, I've heard it from more than one person. I don't know where it came from, but people don't buy the art; they buy the artist.
All right. Okay.
So you're saying, you know, even though, yeah, you couldn't have possibly been there when she painted, made her paintings, you sense a story through it because of, you understand her and some of her story and maybe why she created the way she does, right?
Yes, that's right. Yes. And of course, I first heard of her at while still being a student at art history classes, but then there's a really famous movie based on her story called Frida, exactly Frida.
Mm-hmm.
It's really beautiful, a movie, wonderfully done. With what I like about the movie is, well, of course, the story, the actors, but the colors which are presented in this movie. Colors, very vibrant colors of Mexico, reds, oranges, and blues. And it is the whole movie, well, in my head, is just that array of colors.
I can't remember watching that movie. Movies don't stick in my head. I know I've watched that one, but not recently.
Okay.
So you draw a lot of inspiration from, I don't know, from previous masters, from your art education. Do you all draw just as much from real life and just your own experiences? And like you said, you want to create things quickly and just see images come to life. You can experiment with things based on, you know, the tools that you've chosen. Would you draw more from art history and other masters or from your own experience and just experimenting?
I would possibly combine both and start from the masters, because it is of course advised for artists to look at the work of masters, of previous artists, because it's a great learning path. And that's how children learn at school art. They learn by copying, actually, masters first. That's the beginning of learning art, because from learning from by copying other artists, we are able to develop our own style and technique. And maybe, I know, copying, it's not really copy of the of that artist. When we copy, then we look at the technique that the artist used, or maybe the theme that artist was painting, or colors. Something about previous masters would always give us a lesson. And I've got few contemporary artists that I found and took inspiration from. However, I want to believe that they taught me greatly, but I took it my own way. So it's a great inspiration and great idea, but yeah, I took it my own way, like in this relay race. Yeah.
Right. You take a little bit and then you take it further.
And take it further and take it your own way until you create something of your own. Yeah. There is a lot of philosophy behind my art. Like even with this principle that I wouldn't touch the paper with the craft knife when I drip the paint. It is kind of a philosophy, because I believe if I touch the paper, then that's it. It's spoiled and it's not its own. It's not natural anymore. It lost its purity, and maybe that kind of, purity. And I've heard this idea in a movie by Wim Wenders, Lisbon Story. It's a very arty movie, again, movie that changed my life. Anyway, there were two directors, film directors, and one got lost in Lisbon. He got a little bit crazy. Well, he buried himself in some kind of old van, and then he wandered along the streets of Lisbon with a camera on his back, because he believed that if he looked through this camera with his own eyes, that the image would lose this purity. It would have been contaminated. I know it's a little bit silly and crazy, but that really took to me. And I in the same way, I believe when I touch the paper with the craft knife or even the brush, I don't really like using much brush, because brush forces you to touch that paper, and it is your hand that is controlling the image, not the media itself.
Well, that gives a whole different meaning to you letting the paint create the image. Wow, you didn't explain that before when you were talking about how the paint takes on a life of its own. That adds a whole new meaning to it.
Right. Okay.
God, that's beautiful.
And I know there is a lot of philosophy behind it, but well,
that's good stuff. That's good stuff. I like that kind of explanation. Those are the kind of things that you don't get when you just look at a picture on a wall or even read an artist statement a lot of times. Okay. And that's what this is all about. That's why I love talking to other people about why do you create art the way that you do. So before we wrap up, a few places that you can find Gosha's work. Of course, her website, goshart.co.uk. And you can find everything there as far as her urbanscapes, her sports arts, which of course you want to contact her to commission some work for you. There's a whole page about how to commission work as well there. And then where I found Gosha is on her Instagram. And then she also has a Facebook page. I'll post all of the links to her social media in the show notes, so you can go there and find her. And then she has an excellent YouTube page as well that shows how she creates a lot of the art and the different styles of art that she creates. So I highly recommend checking her out and subscribing to Gosha on her YouTube as well, because she creates some excellent short videos that she puts to music, and they're very inspirational. So those are the places that I found her. There are a few more links that I'll share in the show notes, and go follow Gosha.
Thank you very much.
All right, so follow-up thoughts from my conversation with Gosha. I've got five different items here. So number one, you'll hear me say this more than once, embrace the beauty of your own reality. And that really rang true to me with Gosha. And she didn't know that her synesthesia was a unique trait when she was young. It was just the way that she saw the world. It was the way that things appeared in her head. And then she learned to embrace it and turn that into her art and transfer that onto a canvas. And yeah, just, I mean, amazing the way that she sees that something in a scene, the colors and the motion, like nobody else could do. So she really leaned into that, if you will. Second, her motivation comes from creating unique artworks for people. Several times during our conversation, she reiterated that the reason that she paints is to make art that other people can enjoy. In fact, this one here is from Gosha. She created this one for me. And this is from my bike tour in Morocco that I ran last year. My mates, Andy and Aziz, they're in Telouet, Morocco. So she created a piece, sent it to me. I get to enjoy that here. Thank you, Gosha, for that. I hope she watches this. And really, that is her motivation. When I asked her, you know, what else do you practice? Is this all that you do? Because a lot of times, you know, artists have a side project, something else that they do just for themselves that they don't really share with the world. She said, nope, this is it. I really want to make art that is useful for people, that commemorates, you know, important active things that they've done with their life. So I thought that was awesome. She has a very unique and focused vision, if you will. Third, the images that we make determine who we are as an artist. And there was a part that stood out to me where she said, it's just so easy. They just come to me. I don't paint the pictures. I'm just directing a little bit. And it was as if, you know, this is just what I'm meant to do. Those images determine who she is as an artist. Her philosophy behind her art was another big thing that she liked to talk a lot about, that she doesn't touch the knife to the paper. She just lets it, she lets the paint, the ink, take on a life of its own. And she feels the connection with the image through the knife or through the brush. So really her philosophy is very strong, and that's the way that she creates her art. She sees the colors, and then she just starts letting the letting the paint take on a life of its own. Something that I've not experienced because I've not really spent much time painting, but something that makes me think maybe I should pick it up and give it a try and see if I can connect with what she means by that. And takeaway number four here, this is a quote that really stood out to me. I hope you caught it as she was talking. She said, "The painting is done when it doesn't make any excuses." Yes, that made total sense to me. And what I think she meant by that, basically that the art should stand on its own, that the artist doesn't need to stand over your shoulder and explain anything to you if it's a successful piece. And to me, that's what she meant by it. Could mean something different to you. So when I'm looking at a piece of art in a gallery, online, it immediately gives me a message. I sense, you know, why the artist created it. And if it makes excuses, that means there's something in there that's a little bit amateurish, that either the colors aren't right, the brush strokes aren't right, the perspective isn't right, the lines are just wrong. And the art or the creation, the process gets in the way of just communicating the message. So to me, that's what she meant. If it doesn't make any excuses, then the message is clear. There's nothing getting in the way of just me looking at the piece and going, yeah, I get it. I know why the artist created this, and it totally speaks to me. And finally, the conversation we had about, you know, should you know the people who came before you, the masters of your craft that you're practicing? And she said, the beginning of learning art is copying from the masters, and even taking inspiration from contemporaries and then taking it your own direction, which hopefully is what you're getting out of these talks. That's what I hope to accomplish by these Visual Literacy Project talks, is to give you building blocks, things that you can take from each individual artist that you hear a story about, you see their art, and you say, yeah, that resonates with me. I can use that in my art. That one works for me. I can use that. And you take little pieces, and we're all stealing as artists. We're all taking a little bit from all of the people that we get inspired by, whether it's the colors, whether it's the composition, whether it's their style, whether it's the, you know, their motivations, their backstory. So I hope you're getting that out of this. That's why I'm doing this. And to me, that conversation neatly summed up exactly what we're trying to do here, and a motivation from her as far as, you know, what's taking her art forward. All right, that is it for my conversation with Gosha. Please share this, and if you want to see more, visit visualliteracyproject.com. Send me a message at kevin@visualliteracyproject.com if you want to share your own story as well. All right, cheers. I will see you all later.